this morning and talk about this morning. We need the presence and the power of the promise of God, the Holy Spirit in our lives, because He is the ultimate provision. He is the ultimate provision we need for life and for godliness, to live this life that God has called us. God has called us to impact our nation, to impact our city, to impact the nations of the world. He's called us the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this morning, just impart, I trust that the Spirit Himself will impart into your life who He is and what He has come to do. Because I believe without the Spirit, we're struggling, guys. I've seen it in my own life. Without the Holy Spirit, we really are struggling. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. I was thinking and praying about this, and God took me to Genesis chapter 1 right at the beginning. Let's read from verse 1 to verse 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, say Spirit of God, was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. You know, when you start reading the Bible, you realize how awesome is the Word of God. Amen. You start at Genesis 1 and you get a hunger immediately for the Word of God, because you realize, wow, there's incredible power in what is written here. The Bible says that the earth was without form. The earth was under confusion, lying waste, desolate. The earth was void. You know what void means? It means empty. If you're feeling void in your life, it sometimes means you feel empty. You feel ruined. You just feel like there's nothing there. And then it says that the earth was dark. In other words, there was misery. There was destruction. There was death. There was sorrow. It doesn't look like a good picture. Would you agree? The earth was, first of all, without form. The earth was void. And the earth was dark. It doesn't look good. And then the Spirit of the Lord comes, hovers over the waters and over the face of the deep, the Bible says, and get what? There was life. I believe this is a description of what the world was like without God. And obviously God was there, but over this specific area there was nothing. And that's what hell is going to be like. Hell is going to be like this. Without form, with void and darkness. There's going to be utter darkness. That is what hell is. Hell is simply where God isn't there. But in this time, God came, and by His Spirit, He spoke life. It says the Spirit was hovering. Say, hovering. You know, it talks like a chicken, a hen over her chickens, like a mother bird or any little animal that hovers over a young like that. The Spirit of the Lord was hovering over something, because something needed to be born. And God, by His Spirit, came and brought life. Through His Word. Amen. God said, let there be light. I want to say this morning, the Word without the Spirit is dead. The Spirit without the Word means nothing. But where the Spirit is and where the Word is, God, guess what happens? There is life. Amen. And I remember in my own life when I just had the Word of God, you know, I was saved. I knew Jesus and His Word came to save me. But I can tell you, there was still a lot of death in my life. There was no life in terms of outward focus. I was so focused on myself. And I want to share my testimony this morning about how the Spirit of the God, Lord came upon me specifically. But I just know that the Word and religion these days has a lot of Word, but there's no Spirit. And we can so focus on the Word, but if there's no Spirit hovering over the chaos in our lives, hovering over the situation, that the Word will mean nothing. The Word and the Spirit go hand in hand. Amen. And without the Spirit, the Word also is law, the Bible says. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And yeah, the Spirit of the Lord right at the beginning was involved in creation, and God spoke. And I want to say this morning, the first ministry of the Holy Spirit specifically was a creative ministry. Amen. Anyone think they're creative here? Well, the rest of you don't think you're creative. We are all creative. If we have the Holy Spirit, we're supposed to be creative. God is a creative God. And if you have the Holy Spirit, His first ministry was a creative ministry. He brought something out of nothing. Isn't that amazing? Ex nihilo is the Greek description. Ex mean from, nihilo nothing, from nothing, something out of nothing. Tell someone next to you, something out of nothing. But guess how the Spirit brings something out of nothing? He's drawn to nothing. He's drawn to death. He's drawn to darkness. He's drawn to disorder. The Spirit of the Lord wants to manifest His creativity where there's disorder. Isn't that awesome? And I believe in this country there is disorder in many areas. Maybe in your life there's disorder. Maybe in this nation and this, I mean the city of ours and in your sphere of influence there's disorder. And that's why God wants to bring order, but He does it through creativity. Isn't that amazing? The Spirit of the Lord is drawn to disorder, but He's a creative God. And He brings something perfect out of nothing. And here He brings light. And the rest of the text you can read yourself. The earth was formed and the earth was perfect. Man was formed, man was perfect. Isn't that amazing? Except the one thing about man that wasn't so perfect was that man had a given a choice. But isn't that a loving God who doesn't say to man, man, you have to follow me. He says, man, I'm going to give you a choice to follow me. And that maybe was a little bit of a risk that God took, because is man going to follow him? And sin, man didn't follow God and the ways of God. But the Spirit, first of all, is, I want to say this morning, is drawn to disorder and drawn to chaos, and He's not confused, and He's not turning His back when He sees, oh, South Africa, you're in a little bit of a challenge, I see. South Africa, there's so much bloodshed, there's so much evil, there's so much division. Even in the church, there's so much fighting. But my Spirit is drawn. My Spirit is hovering over the face of the waters. And I believe, friends, the Spirit of the Lord is hovering over our nation. Who believes that? I believe He is, and He's hovering over our lives. He's hovering over our church. He's hovering over a gathering where He starts to move and starts to brood and starts to say, I'm going to give life. Let there be light. That's a sermon for another day, that the power of the Spirit to prophesy. We'll talk about that maybe later in the month. The second thing I want to say this morning, turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 36. The Spirit of the Lord was involved right at the beginning, but the Spirit of the Lord was involved right throughout the Old Testament. And yeah, God gives a promise to His people. Israel are in captivity. They're in Babylon. They are under the yoke of the unbelievers and of the godless people. And yeah, God has allowed that. God has allowed the Israelites to go and to be, because they disobeyed Him. They didn't want to worship Him and be a witness to the Gentiles and to all the nations. So God said, okay, go and serve Babylon. Go and find yourself life there if you want to. And they found themselves in a very bad place. But God promised them through the prophet Ezekiel. So He raises up Ezekiel. And in Ezekiel chapter 36, turn with me, if you've got your Bibles. Otherwise, just follow on the screen. Ezekiel chapter 36. God has got a promise for the people of Israel. And He says, yeah, for I will take you from among the nations. And He's saying to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, prophesy hope to the people. I believe this morning, guys, God is prophesying hope to each one of us. If you're lacking hope here this morning, by the Spirit, I want to show you can have hope. He says, I will take you from among the nations. I will gather you out of all the countries and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and I will give you a heart of flesh. And then verse 27, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. So God's people find themselves in exile, bound by their sins and their disobedience, but God. Tell someone next to you, but God. There is hope for every single person, guys. There is hope because there's a but God who has a promise for future glory. And He says, I will. Guess what He's going to do? I will take you. I will gather you. I will bring you. Doesn't that sound like a loving God? He's giving Israel a second chance. In fact, He's given them a 50th and a 100th and a 1,000th chance, because through Moses, just read the Old Testament, they go through hell every time they disobey God. And the kings of Judah and of Israel try to rule and they're sinful and just, it is a mess. And isn't our God a loving God? Isn't our God a God of promise? And He says, I will take you. I will gather you. I will bring you. Some people this morning, I believe God is gathering you. He wants to bring you. He wants to bring you back to Him this morning. Amen. Maybe you've walked away a little bit and this morning you're here and God is saying, come back, come back, come back. But he's got a promise for Israel, and he says, guess what? I'm not only going to take you and gather you and bring you. Guess what I'm also going to do? I'm going to cleanse you. Who feels dirtier sometimes in your life? Who feels you really need cleansing? Let's be honest. None of us are perfect yet. None of us have made it. Sometimes you feel like, oh, you've just sinned. You're dirty. You need to be cleansed. And God says, I'm going to cleanse you from your filthiness and from your idols. In other words, he's talking there about the forgiveness. He's talking there about he's going to forgive us. And how does he do that in the New Testament? He comes and he brings his son Jesus and said, yeah, I am on the cross. I'll die for you. Take the bullet for you. I'll take the punch for you. I will forgive you. And guess what, guys? We've all got idols in our lives. We've all got something that takes our attention. An idol isn't this golden calf that we have made out of gold and we're worshipping him there and we like every day we've got a little shrine in our rooms and that's not, an idol is something in your heart. An idol is something that's taking your time, taking your effort, taking your energy. It's something that's keeping you from worshipping the Lord more, from glorifying God more. Think about the idols in our lives. Let's be honest this morning and just close your eyes for a moment. Don't look at me. Just close your eyes and think for a moment. What can the idols possibly be in my life? Maybe my studies are my idols. Maybe my work is an idol. Maybe the talents and the gifts that God has given me is an idol in my life. And I'm like worshiping that or glorifying that even more than I should. One who gave the talent and the gift, the blessing in the first place. Could be an idol. Maybe the love of money is an idol. Or money itself is an idol which is causing you to love money. Maybe your spouse or your mother this morning is an idol. Or your father. Or your grandfather. Or your school that you were at. Such an amazing school. And you'll do anything to give that school glory. Or that university. There can be lots of idols in our lives. The good news this morning, you can open your eyes now. The good news for each one of us this morning is that God wants to forgive us. God wants to cleanse us, friends. Amen. He wants to cleanse us from the idols and from the filthiness in our lives. And he wants to not only do that, but he wants to give us a new heart. He says he's going to take the heart of flesh, or the heart of stone, sorry, out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Give you a soft heart this morning, because that is ultimately what is going to save you. A hard heart is going to lead you to hell. It's going to lead you to death. And he's going to do all of these things, and he does it through his son, Jesus Christ. If we take it to the New Testament, this is a promise for what's to come, and the promise is fulfilled in his son, Jesus Christ. But then he says something in verse 27. He's going to do all of this stuff, but then he says, what is most important, I need to put my spirit in you. Amen. The spirit of the Lord is drawn to the chaos and the sin in our lives. I want to say that right now. Just as the spirit was drawn to the chaos at the beginning, and brought life, so the Spirit of God is drawn to chaos and sin in our hearts. He's not, and yes, he doesn't want to fellowship with sin, but he's drawn to the chaos, and Jesus came to break the curse, to make us clean and free, so that guess what? The Holy Spirit can dwell in us. Isn't that amazing? That's why Christ had to come first, that the Spirit could come in a place of cleanliness, where we've repented of our sin, we've recognized that we're sinful, and that we need to have a new heart and a new mind in us. And then he says, I will put my spirit within you. Say, within you. Tell someone next to you that's you as well. Within me and within you. Amen. He wants to put it in us. He wants to give us of his spirit. And guess what he's going to do when he puts his spirit in us? Listen to this. He's going to cause us to walk in his way and obey his judgments, do his will. As I can really testify in my own life, God, when he pours out his spirit in us, he causes us to want to please him. If we try to sin or stop sin in our own lives, in our own strength, it's fruitless. It's going to lead to condemnation, because you're going to, let's say you're struggling with pornography, for instance. You're going to struggle for a while, then you're going to say, I'm going to stop this. And for a few weeks, you'll stop this. And guess what will happen when you fail? You will feel even more condemned before, because you'll think, why did I let God? I made these promises to God. I tried to do this. Oh, and I failed. And it's not going to work. If you're struggling with an addiction and you try in your own strength to do whatever God, you know is right, and God has said to you, and you do it, you're going to ask for so, and you'll fall, and it will be a hard fall. And the devil will come in, and he'll say, look at you, you're just useless. And in our own strength, we cannot struggle with stuff. We need to say, God, put my spirit within me. Put your spirit within me. Sorry, God, fill me to the place where there's a void that can only be filled by your spirit. Because guess what? There's voids in our lives. Amen. And that's why the earth was dark and void and full of nothing. Sometimes we're full of nothing. And guess what? Nothing cannot last for long. You have to fill yourself with something. Are you going to fill yourself with the spirit of God, the presence of God? You're going to fill yourself with something. And the world has lots to offer. Amen. The world has lots of stuff to offer. And you can fill yourself with that stuff. But when you're filled with the spirit of God, and he puts his spirit within you, He's amazing. Just call him the best cardiologist that there ever was. He's a heart surgeon, a heart specialist. He's focusing on your heart. In the scripture, he's telling Israel and he's telling us as believers down the years and down the ages after this is written, he's saying to us, it's the same thing as applicable. I need to put my spirit in you. And I'm going to cause you to walk in my ways and judgments. What are God's ways? Two things. Love the Lord your God with everything. Love people. Amen. It's not too complicated, friends. But God's Spirit wants to help us to love God more, to love people more, and to obey the Great Commission. To go, to make disciples. Those are God's judgments and God's statutes, simply put, if we really want to get very focused. So the Spirit of God is drawn to chaos in before creation. The Spirit of the Lord is drawn to our hearts, and he wants to change our hearts. And look at this, the Spirit of the Lord was also God's chosen one. And how much more do we not need the Spirit if Jesus Christ needed the Spirit? Isaiah chapter 42. I love how this starts. What's the first word in Isaiah chapter 42 verse 1? Let's say it loudly. Isn't that amazing, the CD that the guys have just brought out? You'll see it again. Next verse I'm going to read. Also the word behold. Behold, look at this amazing servant whom I uphold, the Lord says. My elect one in whom my soul delights. I've put my spirit on him. I've put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out nor raise his voice nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break. Smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged until he has established justice. He says, I've got an elect one, a chosen one. Isn't that amazing? You know, when we go to the elections, we elect, but isn't it awesome that God does the ultimate election? God chooses the person that he knows is going to change this world, and his name is Jesus. My elect one, my son, my servant has come, and I've put my spirit upon him. Why? First of all, he wants to bring justice to the Gentiles. That's all nations. No more is it just Israel. No more is it just God's chosen people, a specific nation. Now God's chosen people become all nations because of his son. The Gentiles need justice. And God says, I'm going to bring it. I'm not going to fail. I'm not going to just be discouraged. My son is going to fulfill all his promises. He's going to have success. But guess what? There's going to be godly character inside. If you look at this, you see God, Jesus doesn't shout out. He doesn't like get frustrated. He doesn't like promote himself. He just walks in the Spirit, and guess what? God the Father promotes him. Exactly what he's supposed to say, he says. Look at the cross. Seven things he said. He was very silent on the cross. It says here in this word, it says here, he will not cause his voice to be heard. He will not try to promote himself. He will not try to push an agenda. He just lets his kingdom, his Father's kingdom come through obedience, through walking in the Spirit. There's no striving. There's no self-promotion, and he simply loves his Father and he loves people. Even though he's sometimes straight with people, he cleanses out the temple, he's angry with the Pharisees, with a godly anger. Not because he hates them, he just hates the sin of religion, the sin of disobedience to God. And Jesus Christ is this amazing person, the amazing servant of the Lord, the elect one. And he fulfills his Father's promise, but he does it with godly character and he does it with power. The Spirit upon God's chosen one. Matthew chapter 3. verse 16. You all know John chapter 3, verse 16. But what does Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 say? When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, this word is just like, for some other reason, this word behold is like so sticking out to me at this moment. Okay. Behold again, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Son of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." What happened at Jesus' baptism? Amazing things happened. Three specific things happened. And get what the promise of Isaiah 40:42 was fulfilled right here. There was a promise. God said in His Word, "I'm going to fill my Son with my Spirit." What happened at Jesus' baptism? And I want to say this morning, what could happen at your baptism? What did happen at your baptism? Hey Neil, remember, when was it last year? Some people got baptized last year. Some people 10 years ago, 20 years ago. What happened at your baptism if you were baptized? And what could happen at your baptism if you were baptized today? You, Marie? What's your name? Dawn. What's going to happen today? I'm excited for you. There's two other ladies. I don't know if they're here. Set to and come. What's going to happen at your baptism? There you guys are. What's going to happen if maybe some of you want to be baptized with them today? But what could happen? I believe three things happen. When Jesus got baptized, first of all, it says the heavens were open. And I can honestly testify, I remember when I got baptized, I was struggling a lot, and I just want to share my story right here now, that I was struggling with, I got saved in 1992. I was 15 years old, and I knew I was going to heaven. I knew that night, I was convinced that I'm going to go to heaven if I die now. I'm not in any way doubting that. I was 15 years old, very young. No one discipled me. No one walked with me. So I didn't understand actually what had happened to me. But by faith, in my own hostel room, I gave my life to Jesus, wrote my name in the back of a little book, Gideon's Bible, and I knew I was saved. But for 9 years, I walked with Jesus, not knowing that there's someone I don't know, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. I didn't know about the power of the Spirit. I experienced this guy preaching when I got convinced that I need to be filled with, I need to be saved, because he said if there's no change, there's no Jesus. You know, anyone know of you know about Peter Pollock? Some of the oldies here will know Peter Pollock, great cricketer, came to preach the gospel, fiery evangelist. He said, if there's no change, there's no Jesus. And I was like, boom, I don't see a change. I haven't experienced a change. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I think I am. I think I'm a good person. And I had to give my life to Jesus. And I did. But for 9 years, from 1992 until 2001, I didn't have a clue as to what I was really missing. Because then I started to live the life, Christian life, that I knew I had to live. I went to church, very traditional church, went to church every Sunday, tried to follow God as best I could, came to university, tried to follow God, got tempted in a few ways, like most of us students, you know, when you get to university, there's a lot of temptations, a lot of chances to fall away. Got tempted, but tried to get involved with every committee, tried to do as much for the kingdom as I could, and at the end of my fourth year, I was dying. Felt like there was this massive, like this huge roof here. I was like, I had this space, but there was just nothing. I had this much relationship with God, like from here to that roof, that's how it felt. And, you know, in the school hall, you can do a lot, but it's still limited. It was a limiting roof over my relationship with God. I felt like the heavens were closed. I felt like somehow I'm doing this in a limited way. And I didn't know. And then these weird shofar people, I could see them in the res. They were smiling. They were full of joy. There was orange all over. No, not quite, but at that stage, actually, it wasn't orange, the color of the church. I don't think it was more blue. I don't know. They changed things. But I saw there was something of these guys. Dad will know him. Ross, he was the pastor in Chofar Pretoria, when Tad and Mika were there. Such an amazing guy, smiling. And I thought, this, the Jesus that I'm serving and the Jesus that Ross is serving and that all these other weird oaks are serving doesn't tie up. I think I'm serving the same Jesus. What do they have? And eventually I decided I need to find another church. I'm finished with studying now. I'm starting to work. I need to find a church because I really want to follow God, but I don't know how to fulfill God's will for my life. So I went to Chofar and it was weird. Not used to the happy clappy, the hands lifting, all this stuff. It was really strange for me. But I saw something there. Something was in these guys that I wanted. I went to a small group. And Kobus Fisaghi, one of the Springbok props back in the day, was the best Springbok prop in the 99 World Cup. He was in that small group and they prayed him into the Springbok team. They prayed him out of the Marties, into the Stormers, into the Springboks, became the best prop in the 1999 World Cup. And these guys had a passion for the Lord and I came in there and they started to celebrate my running and they boosted me and they were like so loving and I just knew I want with these guys. I want fellowship. I want the Spirit. And someone prayed for me for the Holy Spirit. I didn't get the tongues. I didn't get all the stuff that comes with the Holy Spirit. But I knew I needed to have the Holy Spirit. I started to do the foundation courses. And I did encounter one, encounter two. And at the encounter two, I knew I have to be baptized. And I did what Jesus did, decided, you know what? I want to give everything. I got baptized. And that day at my baptism, I'll never forget, the Spirit of the Lord said to me, you are going to bear fruit for me. Never forget that voice that I didn't hear an audible voice, but I experienced something. No one told me. There was two cell leaders baptizing me, like we're going to do with the three ladies today. Two people baptized me, but I just heard the Spirit of the Lord saying to me, you're going to be fruit for my kingdom. Not knowing what that would be. Didn't have a clue that I would end up in the full-time ministry. But I was a shy person. I couldn't speak to people. I used to hide behind the couch when I was at home on the farm. Even though I was saved, I gave my life to Jesus and I knew me and Jesus are sorted, but people, yes, I used to not hate people, but I used to be so afraid of people, so shy, so scared of what people would think of me. And I tell you, that day I got baptized and the day I got filled with the Holy Spirit, there was a process involved. It all happened just in 1 minute or 1 second, but there was a process of discipleship. I received the Spirit, and I tell you, I was running, and I just thought, where can I testify? How can I tell someone about Jesus? So I'm running in Stellenbosch there through, and like, just want to tell people, Jesus loves you. Weird. People thought I was crazy. Then I would run with my running partner, and I felt the Spirit saying, ask him about me. I felt Jesus saying, ask this guy, does he know me? And I'm saying, how can I say this? So I said, do you know the greatest man that's ever walked this earth? He says, yeah, you're probably talking about Jesus. I said, yeah. He says, you know what? Someone else also asked me that. I think Jesus is on my case. Came to our small group. He got filled with this, or he got saved there. He gave his life to Jesus. It was just amazing to testify. It was amazing to start to speak to people. And when I sit on a plane, when I sit on a bus, ask my wife, I go crazy. I just want to look for opportunities to testify, to speak to people, to ask them, hey, where are you standing with Jesus? Do you know this amazing God? But I can tell you, I wouldn't have come near people before I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I got baptized that day and my life has never been the same again. 13th of October 2001, I'll never forget it. I got saved on the 19th of March, my actual birthday, 1992, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized on the 13th of October 2001. My life has never been the same again. God called me to the ministry. God gave me a passion that I'd never heard of, I'd never experienced, I'd never realized that I've got, that I had this, and it wasn't me. I'm a very task-focused person, very focused on things must be right and wrong, and God changed my life. And I need to constantly, God, keep reminding me that you gave me such a love for people, such a love for your church, such a love for you, Jesus. The Spirit truly changed my life. You wouldn't recognize me standing up here. I would have never done this. It wasn't for the Holy Spirit. But I experienced one thing. I experienced heaven being open to me. I experienced being able to hear the voice of God. So that's the first thing that happened at Jesus' baptism, and it can happen for you. Heaven can be open. Amen. Because sometimes you feel like a roof over your head. You feel like heaven's closed. But guess what? When you get filled with the Spirit and get baptized, heaven gets open. Secondly, God's voice becomes clear. If any of you are struggling with hearing God's voice, I want to say to you, ask the Holy Spirit to open it again. If you've been baptized and filled with the Spirit, then you just need to repent. You just need to say, Lord, I want to turn away from this. You've given me an open heaven. You've given me your voice. God's voice became clear. And what did the Father say? It's not about hearing God's voice, but hearing what He's saying. What did He say to Jesus? This is my beloved Son, and I'm well pleased with Him. Amen. And He's saying to each one of you this morning, you are my beloved son and daughter. I'm well pleased with you. He wants to say that to you. But if you can't hear it, you need to do something. You need to say, Jesus, fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I need to be baptized. If I haven't been baptized in water, Lord, I want to be filled with your Spirit that I can hear what Jesus heard. And then my last point before we pray this morning. Not only is the Holy Spirit upon God's chosen one, but guess what? The Holy Spirit is upon God's chosen ones. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 to 18. It says, in these last days, when are the last days, by the way? Can I hear it? Right now. In these last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Who's all flesh? Tell someone next, you all flesh. That's everyone. Everyone can have the Spirit of God. And everyone can have it now. And guess what's going to happen? There's going to be prophecy. There's going to be visions. There's going to be dreams, guys. The Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on all flesh, the Bible says. And I'm not going to read it all. You can read it yourself. But guess what? There's going to be amazing stuff happening. You can have visions. You can have dreams. And you can walk in the supernatural. The miracle working power of God is available. And you know, my wife has been, I just want to testify quickly. My wife has had three dreams this last while. Very, very accurate dreams of specific people. And she's like crazy. She's like, what is this about? So she phones the person or phones someone who knows that and says, is this true? Because this person's been going through a tough time or there's weird stuff. The person says, you won't believe it exactly that day. It wasn't only tough times. It was actually someone got married, their love, I think. And she just dreamt this guy got married and like, she didn't know it was a previous client or something. Or, yeah, I know this guy's in his old days, married again. He's so happy. And she dreamt. Accurate. Absolutely accurate. To the night before the wedding. And two other people going through tough times and she knew she must just pray for them. She must just pray for these people and she messaged the one and messaged the other one who knows the other person exactly spot on. And it's for prayer. I believe it's for nothing else. It's just to pray for those people. Pray protection. Pray whatever. But God wants to release dreams and visions through us, guys. Not only, it says, yeah, men will dream or women, you know, young men will vision, have visions, old men dream dreams. I believe it's not only for men. Young men and old men. It's for women. Women are still having, my wife had a dream. It's for all who receive the Spirit of God. All who receive the Spirit of God can prophesy. It says here, look specifically, it says, just put this, and they shall, there at the end. Who shall prophesy? They, who's they? Everyone who's filled with the Spirit of the living God. And I believe prophecy has sometimes died, even in our charismatic circles. Why? Because we just don't walk in the Spirit. Words of knowledge have died because we don't walk in the Spirit. Healings and miracles, it's not freaky, it's for us. Want it. I want to invite you guys tonight. I'm going to be sharing just for an hour and a half on the gift of the Holy Spirit and tongues. If you're unsure about tongues, speaking in tongues, is it for today, is it not? Come tonight. We're going to show you out of Scripture why tongues is so important and the different kinds of tongues. The different gifts. So I want to invite you 6 o'clock tonight in the staff room right here at the school if you want to come here. To do Bible school, but come if you want to learn more. But in these last days, it says signs and wonders. There will be miracles. But guess what the most important of all of this prophecy is? And it's not on the board, but it ends off the following. It says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not about our prophecy. It's not about the miracles, the signs and the wonders. It's about heaven and hell. There's going to be blood. The moon will be turned to blood. There's going to be darkness. There's going to be hectic stuff. If you don't call upon the name of the Lord, I'm afraid you're going to die. In fact, you're going to live in the death. You're going to have a living death. You're going to live forever, but you're going to die forever. It's heaven or hell. And the most important is that everyone calls upon the name of the Lord. I want to say today that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are God's chosen ones, filled with the Spirit so that we can be witnesses to the ends of the earth. That is the most important reason. And we don't have an idea, guys. We don't have an idea what God can do if we are filled with the Spirit and fully yielded to His Spirit. We don't have a clue as to how God can operate. I don't think we have a clue. We're still controlling it. We try to say, yes, God, this is your plan. This is my plan. Let's just yield to the Spirit. You could be called to the ministry like I was. I didn't have a clue that I'd be in the ministry. Believe me. And I said to the Lord before I went into the ministry, I said, God, whatever. If I'm an engineer and I'm effective in your kingdom as an engineer, please keep me as an engineer. God, I don't want to go into the ministry just to be in the ministry. I just want to be effective in your kingdom. Use me. But when I was filled with the Spirit, I could tell you I could not stand still. You become a Duracell bunny. You just want to run for Jesus. Amen. And I believe God wants to fill us again with His Spirit this morning. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, your opportunity is now to receive power from on high and be filled. And you know what he wants to call us as a church? He wants to call us as a corporate witness. We're not supposed to be witnesses individually. The picture I had earlier, I believe God is saying to us, get out the boat together. Get out the boat as a church. But take someone with you. Don't be a lone ranger. Don't be on your own. Don't minister alone. You will get tired and you will get offended with God and with people. And you'll be challenged doing things together. Believe me, I'm more of an individualistic person, but God called me into a church called Shofar. I love this church. It's far from perfect. It's had its battles and its challenges, but I'm so thankful for the founding pastors, Fred and Lucille. For using, well, being used by God to my life. Because I was in another church and nothing much happened. Not nothing happened, something happened. But this church, I'm so thankful that they were obedient to preach about this thing called this person, this most amazing person called the Holy Spirit. He's the gift of God. He's the promise of God. And he has a ministry that is never ending. There's no ceiling. Heaven's open. There's unlimited power for us who believe. Can we pray as the band comes forward?